Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for making this possible for us to be able to do this. We do pray it be a blessing and encouragement to somebody this evening, that we could point people to Christ as their Savior, and also for believers that we could be encouraged through your word, and knowing that no matter how chaotic the world may seem around us, we know that you have a plan, you have a purpose, and that one day you're coming back for us. Bless the program, use it for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, good to be on the air tonight. We had a busy day today. These days like this, we had our anniversary service at the church today, and we had sort of a combined service. We didn't have our evening service, but we had sort of an all-day affair, and we had special music with gospel soloist Eric Howitt this afternoon about 2 o'clock, and we had a tremendous time of fellowship, great meal. And I think I was describing the people that came. I said it was the food that we had. It had plenty of food, but it was like a horde of locusts descended on it today, and everybody must have been hungry. I don't think we hardly took any leftovers home. Anybody took any home. One lady makes cabbage rolls, and she had a big tray of cabbage rolls, and I was kidding her, saying, I thought you brought cabbage rolls. She didn't take much more than a scrap of it home with her, and the desserts just disappeared, but it's good. Came home, was able to actually get a rare Sunday nap. Usually I don't get a nap on Sundays, and it makes it kind of different. But also, in addition to being our anniversary service, been trying to keep in tabs on what's going on in the world, and certainly getting a lot of questions. We were talking about some things happening in the Middle East, things happening in our country as well. And so we'll perhaps talk about some of those things here this evening. But of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight, and we can get you on the air here. One of the things that I was looking at this evening that's come up, and we're talking about it at our Friday night Bible study, as well as today during the anniversary dinner for our church. And by the way, it's the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And thankful all those that visited today, and those that helped make the service possible, or the fellowship dinner possible, and all that. But we'll have more information about the church at the bottom of the hour and at the end of the program as well. But the situation in Syria is one of those things that we've been talking about, and we know from the scripture that there's coming a day that Syria is going to meet its demise, and we understand that, not wanting to spend a whole lot of time on that right there, rehashing things, but the thing that we also know from scripture, and I get this question every once in a while, where is America in prophecy? And some people want to say that Babylon is America. They come up with various reasons. I was talking with somebody about that recently. But there's a couple of different types of Babylon in the scriptures. Of course, there's the city of Babylon. It's an actual city. It's in Iraq. It's been rebuilt by Saddam Hussein. I talked with a Marine. He's now a missionary. But when he was in the Marines, he was one of the first wave in in 2002, and they actually went through Babylon, the city of Babylon. He toured it and saw it. It's an amazing place, and you can actually go there. So there's a city of Babylon, and then, of course, in Scripture, there was the country or the nation of Babylon. Remember the Babylonians that under Nebuchadnezzar, they captured Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judea or Judah. They went into captivity. The northern kingdom, of course, had been taken captive by the Assyrians, and the Babylonians, representing an eastern province of the Assyrian Empire, they basically took over. They defeated the Assyrians, and they became a world empire in their own right. And if you remember in the book of Daniel, in the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar had of the image with the head of gold and the chest and arms of silver, the belly of brass, and then the legs of iron, and then the feet that were part iron, feet and toes, part iron, part clay, which was a prophecy of several world empires to occur. The Babylonian Empire was represented by that head of gold. And then, of course, Babylon was that nation. And so we have the city of Babylon, we have the nation of Babylon, and then we also have in the Scriptures spiritual Babylon. And so when we talk about Babylon, we try to get an understanding of which Babylon we're talking about. Spiritual Babylon is essentially the false religious system that we have in the world. And it kind of varies a little bit. We may touch on that a little bit more. But the area of the Middle East today that would best picture the area that would have been the nation of Babylon in the Scriptures would be the country of Iraq today. And in Psalm 83 and verses 3 through 8, the Bible says, "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarines, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, Selah." And we can see in this passage here a list of Israel's enemies. Now, that list actually could be taken from today's headlines. Now, this was ancient days. But when we look at these, the Hagarines and the children of Lot would be some of the area of Jordan and northern part of Saudi Arabia. Edom would be the Ishmaelites. Edom, the Ishmaelites, and Moab. I'm going to get myself crossed over here looking at this. Let me look at here again. Amalek indicates Egypt. The Philistines would indicate the Gaza Strip. Remember the Palestinians. You can see this in the King James Bible. The word Philistia or Philistine is the same as Palestinian or Palestine. You'll even find Palestine and Palestinia in the King James Bible because that was the ancient name for the Philistines. And in reality, Palestine is sort of a transliteration of Philistine. And the ancient name of the Philistines was revived by the Romans in the second century as an insult to the Jewish people. When they drove the Jews out of Jerusalem and out of their homeland, they renamed that part of the world Philistia or Palestine, and that's where the name Palestine comes from. So the people calling themselves Palestinians today are not the ethnic Palestinians of the Bible. The ethnic Palestinians of the Bible were the Philistines, and as a people, the Philistines really have disappeared. The people calling themselves Palestinians today are essentially the Arab residents of that part of the world where Israel is. In fact, prior to 1948, the Jews and the Arabs living there all called themselves Palestinians. The Jewish, the Philharmonic Orchestra was the Palestinian Philharmonic Orchestra. The Jerusalem Post was actually the Palestinian Post, and that was the name, just like if you live in America, you're called an American, no matter where your ethnic heritage is. If you live in Canada, you're called a Canadian, no matter what your ethnic heritage is, because that's the country in which you live. And so Palestine or Palestinian became not an ethnic name, but a national name. And so after Israel became a nation in 1948, actually about 20 years later in the 1960s, I think it was really after the Six-Day War, if I'm not mistaken, about 1967 or so, when the name Palestine or Palestinian became specific for the Arab residents of Israel. Through the period of the late 40s through the 60s, Israel gradually removed the name Palestine or Palestinian from all of their things in the country and replaced it with Israel and Israeli. And like I said, after about the Six-Day War, I believe it was in 1967, the Arab residents of Israel began appropriating the name Palestine or Palestinian for themselves. And so the only ethnic Palestinians that ever existed were the ancient Philistines, who have been long gone. But at any rate, their name, that would be best acquainted with the Gaza Strip today, Philistia. That would be where the Philistines lived. And so in Psalm 83, we see that as the Philistines mentioned there as some of the enemies of Israel. And then Asher is there. And Asher would appear to point to the area of Iraq. Of course, Tyre is mentioned in that list there in Ezekiel, in Psalm 83, and that would be in Lebanon. And then again, of course, there's the phrase, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And you can go actually online where you can find the writings of the leaders of Hezbollah and some of their, the Hezbollah's constitution or whatever they call their charter, I guess. And you can just about lift that word for word about cutting off Israel from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no or be no more in remembrance. That can be lifted out of their writings today. So looking at Asher here, and Asher would also include Assyria, which would get into part of Syria, but also Asher and the Assyrians came out of some of the area of Iraq initially, further upstream on the Tigris River. And if you remember when Abraham was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees, of course, that would have been in Iraq today. That would be modern-day Iraq. They went upstream up the Tigris River, and they went up into an area which became known as the Land of Haran. And that would be largely where the Assyrians came out of. And so the civilization of the Assyrians, according to Smith's Bible Dictionary, was originally derived from the Babylonians. And they were a race actually somewhat related to the Jewish people. In fact, the Syrians and the Jews, as well as the Arabs, were all essentially cousins in that respect. They're all descended from Abraham, I shouldn't say all descended from Abraham, but they're all descended from Abraham's father in that sense. And so they're fairly related there. Of course, the Arabs and the Jews are all descended from Abraham in that as well, through, of course, Abraham's son Ishmael, the Arab peoples, and then through Abraham's son Isaac, many of the Jewish people. And then, of course, then Isaac, of course, had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And the Jewish people are descended from Jacob, and then Esau, the Edomites, Idumea areas around where the Dead Sea is, south of that, and into down to the Red Sea and along the side of the Sinai Peninsula. But getting back to Assyria and Asher and these people. The civilization of the Assyrians, according to Smith's dictionary, as I was saying, was originally derived from the Babylonians, and they were a Semitic race originally resident in Babylonia. They ascended the valley of the Tigris and established themselves below the Armenian mountains in a separate and distinct area, became a separate distinct nationality. So Assyria occupied an area including some of northwest Syria, but it's also identified heritage-wise with Iraq. And Iraq is identified for the most part with ancient Babylon. And of course, Saddam Hussein pictured himself as the embodiment in almost the reincarnation of the ancient Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, the one that, of course, captured Jerusalem. And he issued coins where the one side had him and the other side had Nebuchadnezzar. And, of course, the picture of Nebuchadnezzar on the coin was made to look somewhat like Saddam Hussein, suggesting that he was the in essence the return of the great king Nebuchadnezzar. And so he dedicated himself to the rebuilding of the city of Babylon on the banks of the Euphrates River. It's about 55 miles or so south of Baghdad, which is, of course, the present capital of Iraq. I remember talking with a Marine who was one of the first wave of Marines into Iraq in the war in 2002. And he actually got to tour through Babylon. And he was telling me about what it was like in the rebuilt city of Babylon. But the prophecy of the destruction of Babylon we can find chapter in Isaiah chapter 13, and starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The burn of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, lift ye up a banner upon a high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude of the mountains, or in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners out of it, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." And some people suggested that the Gulf War back in the 90s was the fulfillment of this, when Saddam Hussein set the oil wells on fire and the land was darkened. But I don't believe that was the fulfillment of this prophecy. I believe the prophecy is yet future. Babylon as a city has never been totally destroyed. In fact, it continues on in Isaiah chapter 13, down here in verse 19, it says, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Remember how God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone came down from the sky and destroyed the cities. I mean, very quick destruction of the cities. And then this phrase is tacked on after saying that Babylon will be destroyed as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be in dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their bones shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near come, and her days shall not be prolonged. And so we see this absolute destruction of Babylon, which has not occurred in past history. So again, the key in Bible prophecy is that if something has not been fulfilled as the Bible lays it out, it must yet be future. And so Babylon has not suffered this kind of destruction, and even where Saddam Hussein came in and started rebuilding, people stayed there, people lived there. The Arabians pitched their tent there, and this destruction is so total that nobody will go there, nobody will live there, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Now, animals will pass through there, and yet it will never be inhabited. And to me, this suggests some kind of sudden destruction, perhaps nuclear. It suggests nuclear because of the idea that nobody will live there in the fact that it might be contaminated, radioactive fallout, and things that would prevent people from living there. So Babylon is overrun and captured and destroyed in the past, but never completely as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And though Babylon has been, at various times built up and somewhat brought down, people have lived there and lived among the ruins and everything, people living there today, but there's never been a time when no one's ever lived there or would live there. And so that's a future event. This actually makes the prophecy a little more understandable. We can see where a series of nuclear strikes at some future date. And this thing in Syria has made people worry about a regional war that could easily go nuclear. I heard somebody interviewing mayor, I think he's a former mayor of Shiloh in Israel, and he was asked, what would Israel do if they were struck with chemical weapons? What would Israel do if they were struck with weapons of mass destruction? And the mayor would not say exactly what would happen, but he said that the world could be assured that Israel would strike back strongly and that there would be no threat left. And we know for a fact that Israel possesses a number of nuclear weapons. But here's the other thing, though. In Isaiah chapter 13 here, it says, it suggests that the person or the group that bombs Iraq, it says, coming from a far country from the end of heaven and destroys the city of Babylon, the whole area there, while darkening the sun, moon, and stars, which in the event of a nuclear strike, a far country from the end of heaven seems to indicate a country perhaps other than Israel. Now, this is a possible area where the United States could come into the picture, and there are scenarios where the United States could be involved in something like that. Certainly, the use of nuclear weapons there would raise a great deal of dust and dirt and igniting some of the oil fields and putting to shame what happened in the 90s with the Persian Gulf War then, when the sun and the moon and the stars were blotted out from the smoke. It would be even a greater degree. So we could see some of that. And it also pictures something else even more. The Medes in Isaiah 13, verses 15 through 18, the Bible says, everyone that is found shall be thrust through, everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword, their children shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces. They shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And you need to realize the Medes that are being referred to here are who we call the Kurds today. The Kurds who live up in the northern part of, northwestern part, I believe, of Iraq, up toward Turkey, in an area that's referred to oftentimes of Kurdistan, they're an ethnically different group than the people who govern the nation of Iraq. They are the Medes of the Bible. Remember the Media-Persian Empire? They're the Medes of that empire. And they have been abused and persecuted by the Arabic Iraqis. Saddam Hussein, in particular, launched a 7-month military campaign against the Kurds in 1988, and he used chemical weapons on them. It's estimated that some 3,800 villages were affected. Men, women, and children were gassed, and they lost entire populations there, and hundreds of people. I'm not sure what the loss of life was, but 3,800 villages, I'm going to assume it was in the thousands. And you can see there's no love that the Medes have for the Arabic Iraqis. And if the Arabic portion, the southern half of Iraq, was destroyed, you can see where the Medes would go in and have no sympathy for them, and couldn't be bought off by them. They would be stirred up against the Iraqi survivors and be set on vengeance. You can see that happening. And this brings us back to Syria, and we'll probably touch on some more of this in the next half of the program. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour break here. But when you see these things happening, we understand that Bashar Assad is not the first to use chemical weapons. People act like nobody's used chemical weapons before. Saddam Hussein gassed the Kurds. He gassed the Iranians. The Iranians gassed the Iraqis. The Russians gassed everybody. We'll have to come up with this on the second half, but stay tuned for another half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join us If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've been talking about the situation in the Middle East and Syria and Iraq and chemical weapons, a number of things, and America and Bible prophecy. We're looking at that a little bit. And if you've got a question in line with that, we'd love to hear from you as well. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. If you're having trouble getting through, we've been having some difficulty with the phones tonight, but keep on trying. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza, has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Mention the program here, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. I can personally vouch for the pizza. It's the best pizza I know of. I enjoyed one just actually last Friday after the radio program, last Friday afternoon. Had a good time of fellowship there with Gus, the owner, and you can contact East Coast Pizza again at 216-341-9100, and if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop without the high franchise fees, if you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, he can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a lot less than what you might think, and get you started for probably under $50,000. If you've looked at franchises before, you know that that's really low compared to what you might see normally. But that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And tell them you heard about it right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're getting back to our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, love to hear from you. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Talking about the situation in the Middle East and going through a lot of information in the last half, talking about Babylon and the situation there and the use of chemical weapons. As I said, Saddam Hussein employed chemical weapons in the 10-year war in the late 70s into the 80s against Iran. They used chemical weapons against each other. And, of course, the Russians during the 80s, we know, used chemical weapons against the Afghans when Russia was attacking in Afghanistan. And then, of course, we know that Saddam Hussein gassed the Kurds. They employed chemical weapons on over 3,800 villages. That's 3,800 villages in the northern part in the Kurdish areas of Iraq. And then, of course, over in Syria right now, the Syrian civil war, both the Syrian government and the Syrian rebel forces have been believed to have used chemical weapons on more than one occasion, going back at least to March and April of this year. And that's why we see suddenly in the past few weeks all this brouhaha about Bashar Assad using chemical weapons, and the world cannot stand for the use of chemical weapons, and we must do something. I remember our president saying a few weeks ago that we're going to go in and strike Syria and punish them for use of chemical weapons. And then, of course, he ended up going to the Congress, and many leaders in Congress were saying, yes, we need to. And many people on the right and on the left on the radio were saying, yes, we need to go in, because if we don't punish Assad and the Syrians for using chemical weapons, it will embolden others to use chemical weapons, and the world cannot tolerate this. I don't know where that rhetoric was back in the 80s. I don't know where that rhetoric was back in the 90s. I don't know where this rhetoric was when when Russia used chemical weapons, when Iran used chemical weapons, when Iraq used chemical weapons, and where was this rhetoric back earlier this year when the Syrian rebels and the Syrian government used chemical weapons? Why now? And then after all of this, and here's what I'm working up to, we've backed down, and Russia now is taking the lead in being the foreign policy maker and setting the lead in the Middle East, where America used to be holding that role. And we were talking in the last half about America in Bible prophecy, and I don't believe that America plays a major role in Bible prophecy. Isaiah 13 suggests that it might be America there, that perhaps is involved in this coming destruction of Iraq or Babylon. In Isaiah 13, Ezekiel 38 suggests that America might be a part of the coalition that opposes the Russian-led invasion of Israel. But America is not the major world player that it is today in Bible prophecy. Russia is much more of a major world player. And I believe that we are seeing that switch as America decreases on the world stage in effectiveness, in authority, in credibility, and Russia rises in all of those areas. Well, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and I was just getting ready to select our caller there. Call back. We're having some problems with the phones here tonight. 888-677-9673, and I'll go back to what I was saying here. We'll get you on as soon as you call back in. But you look at what's happening in the world today, and to have seen in just a few short years America decrease in power and prestige and credibility on the world stage, our military, the strongest military machine the world has ever seen, and decreasing rapidly. But we'll talk about this and more, your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And I believe we have Fran coming through, and I'm going to try and get Fran on the air here. As soon as you got her set up, just go ahead and put her through, and we'll get going here. And hopefully we'll get you on here without any phone problems. But Fran, do we have you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome, and thanks for sticking with it. We've been having a little difficulty here tonight.
I understand. I'm calling in to ask about, is this going to lead to a Third World War? A lot of people are thinking that this Syria is going to lead to a Third World War.
A lot of people are speculating about that, and we know from the Bible there's a series of major wars that are going to take place. A lot of people, though, would count the Cold War as being the Third World War, but I understand what we mean by that. And so with the conventional wisdom, I would say it's the Fourth World War, but I understand the conventional wisdom there. We know that there's Psalm 83 identifies a major battle that'll take place. And as we've talked about over the last several months on the program, what I believe is a battle that will involve the nations surrounding Israel that'll be a major world effect because of the oil production in that region, but it'll result in the destruction of Iraq, the destruction of Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, and it'll probably have some effect on Saudi Arabia as well. And we're going to see that whole area basically devastated. Now, that's a battle that will take place prior to a much more familiar battle that's identified in Ezekiel chapter 38, where Russia brings a coalition that includes, in addition to Russia and Ukraine and some of these former Soviet bloc nations, as well as Turkey and Persia, which would be Iran, as well as Libya and some of the North African Arab states and Ethiopia and places like that. And they're going to come in and attack Israel. And in Ezekiel 38's prophecy, the peoples in Ezekiel's time that make up present-day Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, and Jordan and Iraq are not mentioned, and that's because they've been destroyed in some kind of major regional war, which when you see that that Egypt is destroyed and the people of Egypt are forced to flee and nobody lives there for 40 years, Damascus is destroyed in a night, Iraq is devastated, and nobody, or Babylon, as I talked about in the first half, and nobody will stay there, and there's suggestions of places in Jordan and elsewhere, similar sort of things suggest a nuclear war. I believe we're going to see a nuclear war in that region. Israel will strike back at its enemies. They'll probably do it because they've been hit with chemical weapons, biological weapons, or if Iran gets a nuclear weapon and sends it over, say, to their agents in Syria or Lebanon through Hezbollah and uses that against Israel, I believe Israel will strike back in a nuclear fashion, and they'll devastate and destroy the nations immediately around them. The end result of that, I think, will set the stage for the rise of the Antichrist and the arrival of a one-world government to keep it from ever happening again. And Israel, it's suggested, is going to be devastated by that war, though they'll survive, of course, but they'll be devastated such that they would be in a position where they would be willing to accept a peace treaty and an international peacekeeping force that, of course, Daniel chapter 9 suggests a covenant that the Antichrist signs with Israel, and they lay down their weapons. They become the land of unwalled villages that we see in Ezekiel chapter 38. And then, of course, Russia is brought back. When you read in Ezekiel chapter 38, Gog in the land of Magog, that's a reference to Russia, Meshach and Tubal, and Russia there. And it says in verse 4, "And I will turn thee back," which suggests that the Russians had been there before. And we see the rise of Russia taking the lead on the world scene in the Middle East and overseeing affairs in the Middle East. And this regional nuclear war could drive Russia out of the area, but then they may see their opportunity to come back after Israel's devastated, and they lead this coalition in Ezekiel 38. That battle is going to take place possibly, I think it may be one of the first battles in the during the tribulation period. And then, of course, there's other battles during the tribulation culminating in the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. So I know I threw a lot of stuff out there at once, but hopefully I kind of hit what you were talking about there, Fran.
Yeah, leading into the Armageddon after,
right.
You know.
And
it'll carry right through, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we as Christians may be here for what I call the pre-Ezekiel 38 battle, the regional war that devastates Syria and Lebanon and Egypt and Libya, or not Libya, but Jordan and Iraq. And, I mean, if we're here during that time, I mean, we're certainly going to have some problems. And I think that'll also contribute to the demise of America somewhere along the way, too. Our economy is still tottering, and you know, $10 a gallon gas prices really would put the brakes on any recovery.
Right. So, well, thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate the call, Fran. Thank you for calling. And give us a call again sometime. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom on the line, and Tom, go ahead and join us here.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hey, Tom. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
How you doing?
Good. Good to hear from you tonight.
Good. Yeah, it's an interesting program. Where does it play in with the prophecy of Damascus when you're talking about Babylon being destroyed? Are you talking about Damascus?
No. Damascus is a separate one. Isaiah chapter 13 is
right.
Where I was reading, talking about the prophecy of the destruction of Babylon, and let me turn back here. We have the destruction of Damascus in Isaiah chapter, I want to say 19. Let me just make sure I get the right one here.
Yeah, and I was listening to another radio pastor this past week.
Chapter 17. Chapter 19 is the destruction of Egypt.
Right, talks about Damascus will become a ruinous heap.
Correct, yes. And that's never happened in history. Damascus is, if not the oldest, one of the oldest continually occupied cities in the world.
Okay, because I was listening to another radio pastor this week, and I always believed exactly what you said, that, you know, that that's a future prophecy. But he was trying to assess that passage, and he said that that's already happened a long time ago.
Right. People try to say that when the Assyrians overran it and different groups overran it in the past. But the problem is, if you read the prophecy, it suggests that it becomes a ruinous heap and it's forsaken. And it also says at the end of the chapter in verse 14, behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning is, he is not, which suggests that it's destroyed overnight.
Uh-huh.
And we've never seen the 100% fulfillment of Damascus being destroyed completely. And even if that prophecy had been fulfilled in the past, we still have, as I read, the prophecy affecting Babylon, where it becomes a place that even the Arab will not pitch his tent there, as it said. And we also have the prophecy of Egypt, where people will be driven out. Nobody will live there for 40 years. Now, when you see prophecies like this, there's things that kind of foreshadow them, kind of picture what might happen. But as I said, there's never been a time when these things have been completely fulfilled. And
I really believe what you're saying, but I mean, because that's what I've heard over the years. But
yeah, and another thing with that, along with the destruction of Damascus in chapter 17,
right?
Israel at the same time, there's a Jewish nation that exists that is hurt very badly, but survives. And those other times when Damascus was attacked and everything, Israel was not destroyed to the extent that it's suggested in Isaiah 17.
I see.
And that's along with the destruction. And like I said, I believe that's what sets the stage for them to be willing to accept, a UN-brokered peace deal and international troops keeping the peace, and they lay down their arms because Israel's not in a land of in unwalled villages living in peace and safety today. It's very much an armed camp.
Well, I believe you're exactly right. And also, it's interesting, like you were just talking a few minutes ago, that Russia's rising in power again.
Right, and exactly. And
take the preeminent role there because that's the way prophecy is dictated it should be.
Exactly, and not America.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like I've heard some wild case scenarios that, you know, America could be totally annihilated. I don't believe that.
No, because in Ezekiel chapter 38, where it talks about the ones that oppose the Russian-led coalition that wants to invade Israel, you see the merchants of Tarshish and the young lions thereof. And, of course, the merchants of Tarshish, I just have to get this out quick and because of time, got a couple more callers yet. They would be the people who settled, the merchants of Tarshish settled along Spain, Portugal, France, and the British Isles. And the young lions thereof suggest their offsprings. And the United States would certainly be among the most notable offspring, young lions thereof, of the merchants of Tarshish.
Well, and I think, you know, I mean, just my opinion and my own things, and then I'll get off, is just that, you know, this country came out of Great Britain.
Right, exactly.
And I have a sneaking suspicion that through economic collapse, As the world becomes global, more global and unified in this one world order, and in these last day scenario, that we are actually could return under Great Britain again,
and some kind of arrangement, quite possibly. I mean, Britain would
not under abject rule, but as part of them again.
Right. Right.
It's
that's a great thing to speculate on. I'm going to have to run us out of time here, I think,
so I can
get a couple more callers in. But you're absolutely right. United States is going to decrease, Russia is going to increase, and we see that happening. But thanks, Tom, for the call. And we're going to get to our next caller here before we run out of time. Got another caller. We've got Esty calling in as well. And Esty, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, hello.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. Got just a few minutes here.
Yeah. Real quick, I've been hearing, I don't know if this is true or false, that something major is going to occur on October 1st. Do you know anything about that?
I've seen some speculation, and actually there is some of the same sources speculated that some major event was going to take place in August of this year, which obviously, you know, didn't happen. If it did, we didn't notice it. Sometimes events take place, so you don't always appreciate it when they happen. You know, we don't know the day or the hour that the Lord is going to come. And, you know, the thing with some of these stories is you have to understand the devil doesn't know the day nor the hour when the Lord's going to come. And so he's always scheming. He's always trying to provide something so that when the Lord comes, I believe that the Lord will come and remove the believers out of the world prior to the tribulation period, and that after the believers are removed out of the world, the Antichrist will be able to come to power. And the devil doesn't know exactly when the Lord's going to come back, so he's always got to be scheming, trying to set things up. You know, people talk about conspiracy theories. The master conspirator is the devil himself, and he's always trying to scheme to get things set so that when the Lord brings the believers out of the world and he has the opportunity to bring the Antichrist to power, he'll have some things set in places. And so, you know, people make the mistake. They get caught up. They think it's all this group or that group. You know, it's the Illuminati. It's the Bilderbergers. It's communist. It's the Catholic Church. It's the international Zionism. It's this. It's that. In reality, it's all of those things, because the devil is going to use any of those things and all of those things if necessary to bring it about. And he's orchestrating through, you know, it's like a spider sitting at the center of his web. He doesn't care which strand the fly lands on. It really doesn't matter to the spider. He gets his dinner no matter what strand the fly lands on. And the devil's not concerned, I don't think, whether it's you know, it's the international Jewish Zionism or it's the international Islamic movement that that achieves a one-world government. It doesn't matter to him whether it's the communists or whether it's the fascists that achieve worldwide, you know, government. It doesn't matter to him whether it's the Bilderbergers or the Club of Rome. What matters is he has the opportunity to seize control of the world and bring the Antichrist to power. Second Thessalonians suggests that it's the devil that's being restrained. And let me, in fact, let me turn over there real quick. We've got just a couple of minutes there, and I'm trying to flip through the pages here and find what I want. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as soon as I can get my pages to cooperate, he says in verse number 2, or verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, meaning the return of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or is called God, or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And running short on time, let me drop down to verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's the conspiracy. That's the master conspiracy in the world. The devil doesn't care which one of these groups achieves. The mystery of iniquity is already working, but it's restrained by the action, I believe, of the Holy Spirit through the believers in the world. We're out of time tonight. And thank you for your call. Thanks for all of our callers. God bless. Keep looking up. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. the Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night.